I want to talk about something a little different today. Some people really don't really want to discuss. Holy and unholy. What comes to your mind when I speak the word holy? God, okay. How about unholy? Okay. Well, see, that is a perception. My son just pointed down, thinking the devil is unholy, which is true. But the perception of unholy has been that evil. When you see these movies out, unholy, it's the most evil, sadistic thing that the devil has for you. But that's not necessarily the true meaning of the word. And so we're going to look at that a little bit. As you see movies that come out from Hollywood, the unholy or the unholy sepulcher, and it's all evil stuff. That's not what unholy means. To be able to do that, we need to find out what holy means. So let's ask another question. There's a difference about blessings and cursings. Everybody knows that? How many people want to be cursed? Let's raise your hand. No hands raised here. But how many people want to be blessed? Everybody's hand comes up. In the Bible, what was the first thing blessed? Anybody know? The animals. They were blessed and God told them to be fruitful and multiply. What's the second thing blessed? Man. Mankind was the second thing blessed and he told them the same thing. Be fruitful and multiply. The third thing blessed. The Sabbath, a day. But there was something different on this. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and the host of them, all of them. And the seventh day God ended from his work, which he has rested on the seventh day from his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it." He did something a little different than the Sabbath day. He sanctified it. The word sanctified means set apart. That is what the word holy means. And so there was a reason I was going on this little rabbit trail, because it leads to what God wants for us. He wants us to be holy. But what does holy mean? And why did he didn't make man holy? What was the first? Let's go through another quiz. What was the first thing? You remember in all of creation, God created on the first day and it was good. The second day it was good. Everything he made on the third day good. What was the first thing God said that was not good? Anybody know? That man should be alone. God wanted man to have somebody like him, and that's why he created women. We need each other, and we're part of the family. And he set up that family apart for a purpose, holy, set aside. But when we look in the scriptures, the Sabbath day was different than any other day. Unlike the first two things that he blessed, he sanctified it. He set it apart. And why did he set apart the Sabbath day? Well, Jesus specifically told us that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was for man. He created the Sabbath and he sanctified it for us. There are a lot of people and places in the Bible that we'll find out that are considered holy. More blessed, but holy is a little bit different. It's set aside for a purpose. That's what the word means. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, and he said, "Draw not hither," as he's talking to Moses. Moses approaches God, and you see this burning bush. Everybody knows the story. And as Moses approached, God tells him out of the bush, "Don't go hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, from wherever you stand is holy ground." The second thing was a place. A place and time first, and now a place is considered holy. So we've got two parts of being holy so far. We got time, which was the seventh day, which is where God was supposed to meet man, as you find out later. And the second is a place. God later reminds us in his commandments that the Sabbath is to be holy, but later he does something different. He makes a nation holy. What nation is that? Israel. Correct. And there's a reason for that. In Exodus 19, 4 through 6, he said, what I did to the Egyptians and how I bared you on eagle's wing and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, these things where there's a therefore because of this, there's a reason for this. We have to see what that therefore is. Therefore, if you will obey my voice. So do you understand if he didn't obey this voice, this wasn't going to happen? How many times do we take the promises of God and we don't look what the therefores are? We look at the conditions and we're sitting there standing on the promise of God and we're not saying, looking at those little ifs. If you do this, this will happen. He says, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. Who owns the earth? God. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And these are the words that ye shall speak unto the children of Israel. And of course, when Moses spoke those to them, guess what they said? All that he said, we will do. Is that where our heart is? All that he says, we will do. Did they do it all? Of course not. This is the same thing that Peter spoke in his epistle. A lot of people may have known this song in 1 Peter 2:9-8. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness. Ain't that good news? That is our purpose. That means a royal priesthood. You're set apart, a holy nation. Israel was supposed to be a nation of priests. What does a priest do? They intercede for other people. What did we just do when we prayed? We interceded for other people. Which had not obtained mercy, which were in time past, were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's us Gentiles. Israel was already a chosen people. We're grafted in. We didn't have that mercy, but now we've obtained mercy through Jesus Christ. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against flesh, having your conversation among the Gentiles, that as whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may be by your good works that they shall behold or look at and glorify God in the day of visitation. What did Jesus say? They should see your good works and glorify God, not you. Not, you don't want your rewards here on earth. You want them in heaven. We are a peculiar people, which means we are not like other people. If you are a Christian, you are not the same as the Joe Blow off the street, or you shouldn't be. That's what holiness is all about. And a lot of times we've seen that the mark has completely changed. As the world gets a little bit more deprived, we go more closer to that depravation, but we're saying we're still that far away from him, so we're still holy. No, that's not what God expects us to be. He doesn't want our mark to move because the world's marks remove. Because the world sits there and moves their mark of what they consider righteous. I mean, how long ago was it where if a man and a woman were living together, it was considered sinful? Now it's everyday practice. It's not right. It's still according to God's word. If you're living a godly life, it's not what God expects of you. So let's continue on. God did something different with Israel. So we went up here. We talked about the place, and now we're going to look at the nation. In Deuteronomy 7:6-9. He does something completely different. He says, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord, thy God, the Lord thy God, which has chosen thee a special people unto himself. Hey, it's not fair. Why did he pick Israel? Why didn't he pick the Indians? I got Indian heritage in me. I have Irish heritage in me. Why did he pick them? It's not fair. Because he has a purpose and a plan. And it is the redemption for all people of the world. The Lord did not set his love on thee, nor choose you because you are more in number than any other people. For you were the fewest of people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep his oath that he sworn unto his fathers, had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondage from the hand of Pharaoh's kings of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. He is faithful. Even when we're not faithful, he's faithful. The faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Forever, that means. So he loves you. He loves each and every one of you. And what he's saying is he's keeping his commandments. But he did not choose Israel, nor did he choose you because you're the best in the world. You're the best goody-two-shoes around. And that you can obey him better than so-and-so. It has nothing to do with that. He did it because you needed him the most. You needed him the most. Jesus had a woman that came up and wiped his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. And he said, your sins are forgiven. Everybody else was sitting there like, oh, how could he say such a thing? And then Jesus did a parable. And the end of the parable was, who loved him the most? It says, him who he forgave the most. Though your sins may be many, though they are forgiven you, you're going to love me the most. You need me the most. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to change lives. He wants to separate us from the rest of the world. But we must be willing to allow that to happen. Exodus 19:6 says, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. A kingdom of priests, all the nation of priests. Now, as you know, if you go through Israel, there was completely a different set of priests and separation even in Israel. There was a high priest, which was higher than all the other priests. He went in once a year and made atonement for himself, his family, and then for the nation at Yom Kippur. But then there were the Levites. Now, they took the care of the ministry of the temple. And they were priests. And they took sin offerings from the regular people that had things. And all the offerings in the Bible were not sin offerings. Does everybody know that? Everybody thinks all those animals that were slain were sin offerings. Lots of those were different. Some of them were free will offerings. They were thanksgiving offerings. There were other things. There were things saying, thank you, Lord. I'm offering this to you for just to thank you. Everybody thinks it's all about sin. It wasn't. It was not. And that's the same thing. When we start praising God and we bless him, is it all about the sins of our lives or is it about him for who he is? So then there was that other thing. The whole nation was supposed to be a kingdom of priests. Well, who were they supposed to be a priest to? Well, we've got the Levites. And if you listen to my last study, there was a separation that Jesus Christ was not of the kingdom of the lineage of the Levites. He came from a different priesthood. He came from a priesthood of Melchizedek. But the Aaronic priesthood came from Aaron, of course. But they were supposed to be a priest to the nations. Excuse me. A priest to the nations. If we look at this in the way he wanted to do, every year, there was a year of atonement, which was for the nation. And then the next feast was Sukkot, which was actually called the Feast of the Gentiles, Feast of the Nations. Okay, so we're looking at him, this here. They were supposed to be a kingdom of priests for the nations. The next feast, as I was saying, was Sukkot, which was, they were supposed to offer in a certain, in the next week, about 70 different bullocks. Do you know who those were for? That was for all the other nations. They were supposed to be making atonement for all the nations around them. And the devil was pretty good at this. He see, he got the nations that they were actually making atonement for to come up and destroy the one nation that was trying to save their soul. Not only has that happened back then, it's happened today. That nation of Israel is still being attacked today. They are still the apple of God's eye. And guess what? If you have Jesus Christ in your life, He's attacking you today. He's trying to kill you. He's trying to destroy you. You got a target on your back. The good news is, you look at the back of the book, we win. We do win. What does he say to the Gentile nations? In Deuteronomy 32:43, it says, "Rejoice, you nations, with his people." We're supposed to be rejoicing with Israel. "For he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to the adversaries and will be merciful for his land and to his people." You are part of that people. Satan used every nation in the world to try to attack the nation that was supposed to be atoning for sin. Now it's turned the opposite way. Not only is he trying to kill Israel, he's trying to kill anybody that has accepted the Hebrew Savior, Jesus Christ. The Hebrew Savior, Jesus, the covenant. Old covenant, new covenant. Most people think, oh, they're two different covenants. No, it's not. But if you got your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah 31:31. You see what? See, look at this covenant. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, and I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Does it say the new covenant is to the Gentiles?
It's the same covenant.
It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. And his covenant is still with us today. All right, so let's get back to the meat of this. Leviticus 20 through 24 through 26. And it says, "Behold, I have said unto you, you shall inherit the land, and I will give you it to possess it. It shall be a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which has separated you from other people." I'm okay. He separated you from other people. Do you think that the church should be separated from other people? Or should they be the same as everybody else? There's something different about us. And that's what he wants us to be, a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a holy nation. So I'm going to look at some words here. "You shall therefore put a difference from the clean beast and the unclean." Now, you remember where Israel has to eat kosher diet? They can't eat certain types of animals, according to Leviticus. He says, you're going to put a difference in there. But did you know something? That when Noah came out of the ark, what did he tell Noah about the unclean beast and the clean beast? He said, eat of all the living things. It wasn't the same thing. It wasn't the same covenant. With Noah, he said he can eat anything. Now, was it because Noah didn't know the difference between clean and unclean beasts? No. He knew the difference because he brought in seven of the clean and two of the unclean. So he knew the difference. So he could eat everything, but Israel had to do something different. They had to sit there and show themselves as being different by separating their diets for the rest of the world to say, hey, there's something different about you. Why do you not eat like us? Well, the Lord told us this, and here's my testimony about what the Lord has done to got me to this place. Ain't that great? It's not because the animals were going to kill you, because it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man. It's what comes out. So we're going to look at a few words that actually explains this. The word holy, kodesh, means set apart. We just talked about that a little bit. And this is in the Hebrew. Unholy, whole, means common. It doesn't mean evil. It means just the everyday Joe is not separated to God. See, a lot of people say unholy is evil. No, it's the norm. It's common. It's the same thing. The same person doing everything just like that. And that's why we're separated. We're not doing the same thing as the rest of the world. Jesus did not want us to be like the rest of the world. He called us out of the world. He says in the world you'll have persecution. But you are not of the world. If you're in him, you're not of the world. So there's something different about us. The other word is clean and unclean. Since we were talking about unclean and clean animals. Clean comes from the word tahor, which means ceremonial clean. It was done in a separate way for a religious rite. That's why it was clean. Unclean comes from tameh, which means contaminated or not ceremonial clean. It doesn't mean that it's evil. My son goes out in the yard, plays in the mud. Do I come up and say, oh, he's evil? No. But before he comes in the house, he's going to have to take off his shoes. He's going to have to get clean. I'm not letting him in my presence that way. And that's what God's trying to tell us. It doesn't mean he's evil. He played in the mud. And so our mindset of what these words mean is really completely destroyed. The actual word for evil is ra in the Bible. So it's completely different than what we think. So what you think of eat and don't eat makes you clean or not clean? That was their covenant with God to show that they were different. But we do know that when the early church met, they didn't command that for the Gentiles to do those things. So let's look at this about as the law, because people like to look at the law about eating things clean and unclean. It says in 1 Timothy 1:8-11, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. True. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, and for sinners, and for the unholy, and here's the separation, profane. That's the evil. Why is the law? Well, you have a law already written into you when you were born again, with Jesus Christ speaking to your conscience through the Holy Spirit, sitting there saying, don't do it. Now, if you disobey, it's become sin. You didn't have to sit there and study the Ten Commandments to actually know when you're doing wrong. Now, for those who have no conscience, do not have God in them, they need those fences. Your children need fences when you're teaching them to be able to obey and to walk in a certain way. You can't just sit there and let them do whatever they want. You imagine all the junk food they'd be eating, all the junk they'd be seeing on TV. And I could tell you about the music I used to listen to, but we won't go there today. So, just to finish up this verse, the law is made for the unholy, the profane, the murderers of fathers, the murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, of them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. Boy, is this a long list. And if there be anything contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Genesis 9:1-3 as we said, he said that you can eat anything that moveth on the earth, that it was not evil. So Noah was allowed. Unclean beast does not mean evil, as we would just discuss. So when you're, like we talked about before, Israel was separated for a purpose. You're separated for a purpose. Acts 15, 1 through 5. We want to go back into here a little bit to where, if you remember Cornelius. Anybody remember Cornelius in the Bible? He was the first Gentile that actually was saved. There was a time in his life that Peter didn't believe that the Gentiles could be in the presence of the Jews. And so God said, that's not true. That's not anywhere in my word. And so before that happened, there was a disputation between there. Do you have to be circumcised to be saved? Are you following the law to be saved? So there was actually a council of Jewish church at that time. How many people know that the Bible, except for maybe one book, and we're not even sure if that's true, was all written by Jewish men? Jewish people? Did you know that? And everybody's trying to destroy Israel. And then you can't say Jesus was Jewish. You know, we need, and he told us to watch Israel for the end times for his return. So we need to be thankful for God for Israel. Because for them, we wouldn't be grafted in. But the one thing that happened here is there was a council. Okay, we have a church council. Let's get the church together. We've done that before. All churches have done that before. So this is what they had a problem they had to deal with, and they what happened was, so specifically in Acts 15, 1 through 5, it says, and certain men which came down of Judea taught the brethren, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved. Have you ever heard that? Except you're baptized in my church, you can't be saved. Unless you believe you speak in tongues, you can't be saved. Have you heard of such weird doctrines like that? That's not what the Bible says about salvation. It says, when therefore the Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they argued. That's what it's saying. They argued about it. No, yes, you do not have to be circumcised. Yes, you do. No, you don't need to be saved. So they decided, hey, certain of them will go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and the elders and ask about this question. And being brought by the way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversions of the Gentiles. And there was great joy unto them all the brethren. They were so happy that people were being saved. They were like, yes, they're saved. But now we still have this problem here in the middle of this. They're saying they're not, other people are saying they're not saved. And when they come to Jerusalem, they received of the church and of the apostles and the elders and declared that the things that were done. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying. You see that it says sects of the Pharisees? The Pharisees themselves were divided too. We have divisions in our church, don't we? We have different denominations. Judaism has different denominations. And not only that, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, they had different denominations within their denominations. We have that too. Baptist, free will Baptist, what type of Baptist, who knows? Independent Baptist, Methodist, different type. Well, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about within their own denominations. But anyhow, so, and they said it is needful for circumcision to them and commanded them that they must keep the law of Moses. Where in the Bible does it say that for salvation that you must be circumcised? Can you find it for me? No. I said it in the Bible. No. There is no place in the Bible that says salvation is dependent on being circumcised. Where does it say in the Bible that to be saved, it is done by keeping the law? It's not there. It's not there. They talked about atonement for sin. It talks about this being a symbol of your sanctification. Guess what? We have that today, even in the Christian church. Baptism, water baptism, is a symbol of an outward show of your faithfulness to the doctrines of Christ and being born again. But that water doesn't save you. I can dunk you 100 times, and if you don't believe in the accept and receive the redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ and through his redemptive work on the cross, you're not going to be saved. You may get a good bath. That's about it. Well, if it's me dunking you, maybe not even a good bath. But anyhow, that doesn't save you. That was an Abrahamic covenant that set aside the seed of Abraham. The other part, the Torah, was a physical law that was to separate the nation from other nations as a kingdom of priests. That did not save them. As we even go back, and Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And God, and because he found that, you can go back into Hebrews 11. He's actually listed as one of the heroes of faith, and that he moved with fear building the ark. Noah had something to do. He could have just said, that was it. You know, I want God to do everything. He didn't do that. God told him what to do. Would you think Noah and his family would have been saved if he didn't build the ark? Of course not. And if we don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord, we're not going to be saved either. It was always grace through faith. Even from Noah, from Abraham, Israel says it. David says, thy mercies, thy loving kindness, over and over and over. He's pleading for mercy, not sacrifice. The sacrifice of bullocks will not save you. It was the sacrifice, the redemptive work of Christ, that those bullock sacrifices represented that saved you. It's still grace through faith. And so, after they came to the council, going to verse 6 of the same chapter 15 of Acts, the apostles and elders came together to consider the matter. Now, what's very interesting here is this is the Christian Hebrew church come together, and they bring everybody together to talk about it. But when the Gentiles were in charge of the church, they didn't allow the Jews to have a voice. It's a little different here. And that's what's really scary, is that we get people that don't want to include certain groups because we divided ourselves in such a way that we will not even sit there and talk to each other anymore. And that's what's happened in the past. So when the apostles and the elders came together on the matter, and there, after much disputing, they were still arguing about it, even in front of them, Peter rose up and said, and the men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts of men, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as us. There's the seal. Giving you the Holy Ghost. If you look at Israel, Israel was a sign from the beginning and will be all the way to the end. You have the spring and the fall feast. The spring feast all show the redemptive work of Christ. It comes up with Passover, Jesus Christ, our Passover. It goes into the Feast of Unleavened Bread when Jesus goes into the ground. And then you got the Feast of First Fruits, which is actually Jesus being the first fruit risen from the dead 3 days later. And then we go to Passover, which is the token covenant of the marriage, the gift given to us, the bride, until he comes back. It's your engagement ring. That's what that's about. And if he did that in the spring feast of the first coming of Jesus, isn't he going to do the same for the second coming? Is he going to use those same feasts the same way in the same area? they still mean the same thing. It still mean the trumpet, the Feast of Trumpets. He's going to come down with a shout. So even here, we see that all these laws that they were trying to do, it's all back to Pentecost right now. That was our token. You had circumcision. You had the law. Now you have the sealing of the Holy Spirit in the believers. Does everybody actually see that? Well, I'm telling you right now, if to find out if you're a Jew, even though that was a token covenant to the Jews, on the eighth day they were actually circumcised, I'm not running around and say, I want to see if you're circumcised, see if you're a Jew. No, I'm not asking that. Nor am I going to run around and sit there and say, let me make sure you keep this part of the covenant law. Let me make sure you're eating the right types of food. Nor am I going to sit there and say, let me hear you speak in tongues to prove to me you're a Christian. That's not what the board tells us to do. It's all an inward work. It's not something that should have always have to appear in men that way. What it is our lives should appear differently. You didn't see that I'm going to show I'm a Jew by everybody dropping down their pants. That would be ridiculous. Their lifestyle showed that they were a Jew. Your lifestyle should represent Christ. So it goes up here, and here the whole gospel is put in the nutshell, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the necks of the disciples, which neither their fathers nor we were able to bear? We couldn't keep the law, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Same way. Israel saved the same way we are saved. Then all the multitude kept with silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles. And for time's sake, Acts 15, 20 through 29 talks about how they sent people down and explained sent people over to explain this to them. So let's go back in Acts and look at these scriptures. Acts chapter 10. And we're going to start from verse 9. And we're going to go through 28. And I'm just going to expound on it as I read the verse. And so this was the event that Peter was discussing with the council. And he says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray around the sixth hour. Anybody knows what the sixth hour of the day is? Noon. It's lunchtime. That's what he's hungry. Is he hungry? I'm getting hungry. It's lunchtime. And he became very hungry, see, and would have eaten. But while they were making ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw the heavens open and a certain vessel descending unto him, and it was a great sheet knit from the four corners, and it let down on the earth, wherein all manners of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And then there came up a voice, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord. Peter saying, Lord, I heard your voice clear, but I'm not doing that. How many people would think that they would actually say, no, Lord? He did. But he has a reason why. She says, for I have not eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake again unto him a second time, what God hath cleansed, call not thou common. This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again. Now, while Peter doubted himself with the vision, what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which came from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Now Cornelius was a Gentile. As a Gentile, the Jews had this belief, and you can even see these beliefs even during the trial of Jesus, that a Jew cannot go into the company of a Gentile. Of course, you will not find that in Scripture. You will find that in what they call the Oral Torah, in which Jesus actually said, called them as the traditions of men. And so God's setting him straight. No. What you call common, what I've cleansed, don't you call it common. I'm cleaning the Gentile just as much as I am doing the Jews. I am going to send them salvation just the same way as I'm giving you guys salvation. I didn't come just for Israel. I came for all. I came to redeem the whole earth. And so a couple of the words here I want you to understand. The word common is actually the same word that we use for the Greek language today, koinos, or koinea, means common. It just means normal. Okay, and the other one, which you see clean, is agathartos, which is ceremonially clean. Okay, so if it's unclean, it's agathartos. Okay, but it's ceremonial unclean, so it's not kosher. So unclean, that's why there's two different words. Unclean means not kosher, according to the Jewish diet. Common was actually, it was clean food according to a kosher diet, but it actually was sacrificed to idols. And so they weren't to eat it because it was sacrificed to idols. And that's specifically what they told them not to do, is eat things sacrificed to idols. Continuing on with verse 18. And they called and asked for Simon, which was surnamed Peter. He lodged there with Peter through the and Peter thought on the vision. The Spirit said, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get you down and go with them, doubting nothing." Now, this was actually 10 years after Jesus has ascended to heaven. The church in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and all those were all Jews that actually came over for Passover. We've had this Gentile belief that it was actually a bunch of Gentiles, but that's not true. That was worshiping house to house. They were still worshiping in the temple, and they went to house breaking of bread. As you can also see here, that Peter will actually explain why it's that way. And so then Peter went down with the men, and which were sent to them unto him from Cornelius, and said, "Behold, I am he whom you see. What is the cause therefore that you come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among the nation of the Jews, was warned of God by a holy angel to send for thee in thy house, and to hear words of thee. Then calleth them to lodge there, and on the morrow Peter went his way with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the morrow after he entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for him, and had called together his kinsmen and near friend." Hey, God told me to call for this man. Everybody, come on. We've got to hear these words. It's that important. And as Peter was coming to Cornelius, and Cornelius met him and fell down on his feet and worshiped him. And Peter said, "Oh, thank you for worshiping. I'm an apostle." No, he didn't say that. He says, "But Peter took him up and saying, 'Stand up. I myself am also a man.' And as he talked with him, he went and he found many that were together. And he said unto them, 'You know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come to one of another nation.'" That was not true in the Bible. They were supposed to be separate. They were supposed to be different. But it did not mean that they were not to proclaim the gospel to the rest of the nations. Even as a Christian, we are not to count people brethren which are doing evil, especially those that are call themselves brethren and are open reproach to the church. But that does not mean we can't go over there and speak the words of truth to them. That's what our job is. That's the mission. That's the Great Commission. And so, or come to one of the other. "But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." You notice that he changed that vision he had about food to man. He interpreted it as God wasn't talking about food. He wasn't talking about man being clean or unclean. See, the difference here is He wasn't saying you can eat men and be cannibals. He wasn't talking about food anymore. He's talking about men. And so when we look at people on this earth, we need to look at them as not always evil sinners, disgusting, unholy, unclean, dirty, filthy, law-breaking, man-destroying murderers. We need to look at them in the light that Jesus looked at upon us. They're common and they need me. That's what Jesus is saying. And so, Ephesians 4, 17, 24, we need to be separate and be changed. Paul tells us, I therefore testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. There's a separation. We may not be Jewish. We're not supposed to be Jewish. We're not even going to try to be Jewish. No, but we are still supposed to be holy. Do not walk as other Gentiles. Do not walk as the world. You are not of the world. In the vanity of the wife. Having the understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance of them that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves unto lasciviousness to the work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not learned so in Christ. If so, that you have heard him and have been taught of him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conversation. It's not that easy to do, especially if you were in the world so much that that was the only thing you knew what to say. I know when I was in the military, I was a maintenance mechanic and technician, and every word that came out of my mouth was what everybody else did. As a matter of fact, it was the same type of food I was eating. It was like foul. It was not something I was proud of. And the one thing I noticed is once I started coming to Christ, he started cleaning up my act. And you know what? I didn't even realize it. I used to get in trouble for cussing more than the others. Next thing I knew, there was a change in my life once I accepted Christ. My stations changed on my radio. There was one we had at work where everybody listened to, secular station. I don't know why, but I kept turning it off. I stopped listening to that same music. There's something different about me. And that's the best time to be able to witness. What's different about you? I see something different about you. I don't know what it is, but there's something different about you. You're not talking the same way. You're not walking the same way that you used to. There's a change. This is the time we can sit there and testify. You know, there has been a change. Let me explain what that change came from. So, you put off the old former conversation of the old man, which you used to be, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's what repentance is all about. Turn away. Go the opposite direction. Stop thinking the same thing and start thinking different things. Philippians tells you what you should be thinking. If there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things. So we need to, and that we put on the new man. What's the new man? Jesus Christ. In us, which is after God, is created in righteousness and in true holiness, separation. And it's 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them. Come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And let's go back to Peter, since a lot of this was his discussion, what he said in Acts in 1 Peter 1:13-19, closing. It says, gird your loins up with of your mind, be sober and of hope, and of the end of the end for the grace that is to be brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Why is his mouth always spoken of? Most things we sin with and disobey with is with this little thing, this little gap in our head called the mouth. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Is God holy? Do you want to be like God? Well, let's start being holy. And if ye call on the Father, who is without respect of person, judgeth according to every man's work, past time of sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversations were retrieved by the traditions of men, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish or without spot. That's what it's all about. The gospel in the nutshell is not what you can do, what you're not doing, but what he has already done. But after you've been born again, there is an expectation. When God put Adam into the garden, he put him to work. And what was he doing? He was working in the field. And as he was working in the field, fruit was being produced. God wants us all to be fruit producers. You may still be saved and not be producing fruit that you should be, but there's a lot of people going to hell that we may be able to influence by doing what God's told us to do. And we have part of that. One family, Jews and Gentiles together in Christ. The one that brings us together is Christ. What separates us? Our own vanities, our own lusts, our own selves being common. We're not to be like the world. We want to be holy like him. Father, I just thank you for your word, Lord. And I just pray right now, Lord, as you have separated us to be your people, that you would guide our steps. Help us to live that godly life that you've called us to be, the children you want us to be. And help us to bring others into the kingdom. Let us be an example, an ambassador. Lord, we just pray for those on the internet that are listening to this, Father, that, Lord, if they don't know Jesus, that you would reveal yourself to them today, Lord, and let them know that how much you love them, that even while they were yet in sins, that while you've seen what they were doing, that you still love them and that you will still save them. All they have to do is call out to you as we call out to you, Abba, Father, for we give you all the glory and praise of what you're about to do among your people. We pray, Father, that the bickering would stop, that you would bring us into one church, into one body, into one fold, Lord, that the divisions, the accusations would be destroyed. And that, Lord, you would be Lord of all. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us these precious promises in your word. We pray for a renewal within our church and those around. In Jesus' name, amen.